A very good afternoon to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Today is the 18th September 2022 Sunday class. So we shall continue from our sharing on this book, 54th lesson of the Six Patriarch Platform Sutta. We are at page 26. Okay, let us now compose our mind. Develop our faith, sadhā, virya, then mindfully we shall commence the puja chanting. Namo bhen sī sī jīya mōni fō. Namo bhen sī sī jīya mōni fō. Namo bhen sī sī jīya mōni fō. Namo guān sī yīng bhu sā. Namo guān sī yīng bhu sā. Namo guān sī yīng bhu sā. Namo ā mī tō fō. Namo Amitabha, Namo Amitabha, Namo Milafo, Namo Milafo, Namo Milafo, Namo Pusyam Pusa, Namo Pusyam Pusa, Namo Pusyam Pusa, Namo Dijangwang Pusa, Namo Dijangwang Pusa, Namo Dijangwang Pusa, Namo Pho Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa, Namo Pho Pusa. Arahang Sama Sambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Swagato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang namasami. Supatipanno bhagavato savaka sangho sanghang namami. Namo attassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo attassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo attassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami. Dhammang saranang gacchami. Sanghang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Panati pata viramani sikha padang smadhiyami. Adinadana viramani sikha padang smadhiyami. Kamesu micchacara viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Musavada viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Surameraya majjhapamadatana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us now pay respect to Triple J. Buddhang Pujeme. Dhammang Pujeme. Sanghang Pujeme. Okay, you all can be seated. Okay, just relax body and mind, maintain some of our attention. then we will chant the invocation to the Deva, turn to page 6 on the chanting book. Invocation to the Devas. In this universe, in the entirety, let the deities come here. Let them hear the good teachings of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta chakavalesu atra gacchantu devata saddhamman muni rajasa sunantu sakamokkhadam. Dhammasvanankalo ayam padanta. Dhammasvanankalo ayam padanta. Dhammasvanankalo ayam padanta. Namo atassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo atassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo atassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Iti peso bhagava arahang sammasambuddho. Vijacarana sampanno sugato lokavido anuttaro purisa dhammasarati satta deva manusana buddho bhagavati. Suakato bhagavata dhammo Sanditiko akaliko ehe paseko opanaiko pajatang veditabo vinohiti. Subhatipano bhagavato sawakasango. Ujjupatipanno bhagavato sāvakasāṅgho. Nyāyapatipanno bhagavato sāvakasāṅgho. Sāmīcipatipanno bhagavato sāvakasāṅgho. Yadidaṃ cattari purisa yugāni atta purisa pugala esa bhagavato sāvakasāṅgho. Ahuneyo pahuneyo dakkeneyo anjali karaneyo anuttaraṃ puññaṃ ketaṃ lokasāti. Sādhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, you all can be seated and just relax body and mind, maintain some more attention, then we will continue on page 26 after 54, lesson of the 6 page platform sutta. We are at the first, we finished the first paragraph, we are at the second paragraph. So the sutta say, we will continue, right? The master said. So Huineng said, I cannot read. But you read the sutta and read it once, I will explain it to you. So Fata recited loudly until he came to the analogy chapter. The master said, stop. Then Master Huineng said, this sutta is fundamentally based on the principles underlying the causes and conditions of the Buddha's appearance in the world. So this statement is very important, very, very powerful. And you have to understand it. So I read again. The sutta is fundamentally based on the principle. What is this principle? The principle underlying the causes and conditions for the appearance of the Buddha in this world. See how important is it? Then none of the analogies spoken has gone beyond this. And what are the causes and conditions for the Buddha's appearance in this world? The sutta say, listen to this, all Buddhas, the world-honored one, appear in the world for the causes and conditions of only one important matter. The one important matter is the knowledge and vision of the Buddha, is his great wisdom, virtue, perfection, and understanding that allow him to understand this. He said, worldly people, deluded by the external world, attach themselves to marks. Then he continued, and deluded by the inner world, means when you go inside, they attach themselves to emptiness. If you can live among mark, listen to this, and yet be separated from it. This is a very powerful statement. Please make a note. That's why at that time I also mentioned, you can live among the marks and yet be separated from the marks. Then you will be confused by neither the inner nor the outer. It's the internal and the external. You won't be confused. This part is just like the lotus flower analogy that the Buddha gave. Because the conditioned world recognizes mark, like I always say, recognizes relationship. The form and mind within the conditioned world is as real as it can be because it is subject to karma. There is such a thing as birth, old age, sickness, and death within the conditioned world. That's why when you live life within the conditioned world, you are among the marks. You cultivate with marks like the lotus flower within the lotus pond. From the lotus pond, which is filthy, full of dirt, which is like the conditioned world, the existential world, where all the defilements, all the dirty things, the evil roots are all there. Then from there, it can arise above and stand above the world, the lotus pond. So here is a saying, if you can live among mark of a self, cultivating, mark of others, living beings, mark of Dhamma, mark of life, mark of existence, etc. And yet be separated from it, knowing that they are unreal and ultimately empty, you will be beautiful. All this while I have been trying to advise cultivate the way to contemplate deep into all this understanding. Whereas the conditioned world and the unconditioned world, they are different. No, don't go away. I have to continue reading. The conditioned world and the unconditioned world, they are different. So because of that, you have to understand clearly that there is no difference. Then nothing can confuse you. Yet internal or external, the phenomenal world, sorry, I read again, then nothing can confuse you, whether it's internal or external, or the phenomenal world. You will not be deceived and deluded, because you can live within the world of marks, and yet be separated from marks, where you have the true understanding, the awakening. That is what the Heart Sutta is all about. The Heart Sutta say, in true emptiness, all these do not exist. But in life, they exist. So this form and mind, this segmented life that you have come, is subject to karma. You cannot play a fool with it. You cannot say, oh, I use the true mind to act, hence there is no karma. Ah, you can go and try and find out. You can go and try it. How? That form of mind may not be you, but that one is subject to karma. That one recognizes relationship. You cannot just say it's just a form of mind. I can kill because there is nobody inside there. He know you and he know me. That is delusion. If you think in that manner, it means you don't have the understanding or the wisdom. You are being deluded. That's why Fata could not penetrate, because he had a lot of doubt. In fact, a lot of Theravada practitioners had the same problem. When you discuss with them non-self, empty nature, and all those other Dhamma, they cannot comprehend. We are on the one side. They heard the Buddha said, you are all born of your karma, heir to your karma, conditioned and supported by your karma, and you are what you are because of your karma. They may argue, we are saying, the Buddha said, I exist, I am born of my karma, heir to my karma, conditioned and supported by my karma, and I am what I am because of my karma. Then why do you say not me, non-self, etc.? To them, it appears contradictory. So what is your understanding? Did the Buddha lie? The Buddha didn't lie, isn't it? Can you explain why the Buddha didn't lie? Because when he said, you are born of your karma, heir to your karma, conditioned and supported by your karma, and you are what you are because of your karma, what is he referring to? What is the entity that he is referring to? That one came from the karmic nature, and he is referring to your form and mind, the five aggregate, the human being, for our case. So this form and mind is born of karma. That is correct. But this form and mind, the Buddha said, is not you. That is the penetrative awakening. When one realizes this Dhamma, one is awakened. Then one comes to the understanding that all these are conditioned arising or dependent originating phenomena, hence not real and not what one thinks. The form and mind, both are not real because they are dependent originating and conditioned arising. That's why they are impermanent. Dependent on causes and conditions, they arise. When causes and conditions cease to be, it ceases to be. So who are you? What are you? This form of mind, when the consciousness separates, did you die? When the, in bracket, all the aggregates arise and pass away, which you have already experienced in your meditation, did you die? Feeling come and go, pleasant feeling become unpleasant feeling, did you die? You didn't die, did it? Thought arise and pass away, you didn't die. So thought is not you, feeling is not you, perception is not you. And this will become very clear to you after you have developed the mindfulness of the awareness. Or the awareness to awaken. Then the question is, if they are not you, then who are you? What are you? Then how did it arise in you? The five aggregates of form and mind. This is what the teaching is all about. That's why you have to silence your mind through meditation, through sati, to awaken to all this truth, to realize all this truth profoundly. This is what Paticca-samuppada, or the dwelling of dependent origination, is all about. When your mind is silent, you are in sati, developing the understanding or meditating. You can see how they come to be, as described in the Satipatthana Sutta, how the unarisen mental hindrance comes to be. Then how the arisen mental hindrance cease to be. You will see them then you will come to realize that they are all dependent originating, and there is no permanent unchanging entity behind. This is what meditation is all about. Not asking you to note this, note that, focus on this, focus on that, etc. All those doing are not meditation because they are thought-based. The true meditation is just silent or silently aware. To realize all this through an awareness via the direct seeing, via your physical body or physical form, has the senses, your mind, the consciousness that can make contact with the senses and together with the sense data. Then upon contact, if you are mindful, you are aware. You will understand what arises. It is not a one-dimensional dependent origination flow. Such as upon contact, feeling arise, then feeling condition craving, etc. No. It is multi-dimensional. What really happens is, together with feeling, so many things arise simultaneously. If you are mindful, you will see that. Without wisdom, the yoniso manasikara, or wisdom at the moment of sense experience, feeling will straight away condition craving. Then it will condition grasping, clinging, and becoming. Then you become that. You remember? Brother Pang at the previous Thursday class? He asked me that same question. Well, Theo, he said, this dependent origination, I have gone through it many times, but I cannot do anything about it because it happened so fast, he said. Upon contact, straight away, suffering arises. That's it. I react already, he said. So how to see? You can only see if you have the stability of mindfulness. That's why your sati has to be very stable. At the moment of feeling, feeling will remain as pure feeling. This is only possible when you have the wisdom, yoniso manasikara. Because there is no more sakayatiti or self-delusion. But before you have that understanding or ability, it will become craving first. Because through the egoic mind, the sakayatiti, the self-delusion, it will grasp, it will cling, and it will stir and react to sense experience based on your conditioning, belief system, views, opinion, tradition, etc. Then when it becomes craving, you cannot cut at craving or feeling. You cannot stop because this dependent origination is a continuous link. You can only come to the understanding if you continue to be silently aware and follow the four foundations of mindfulness teaching to realize it clearly. It means seeing it in the meditation. That is, it is really dependent originating, not what you think. Exactly like the Buddha's explanation in the Anatta Lakkhana Sutta. That's why after the Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, he continued with the Anatta Lakkhana Sutta, the sutta on non-self or empty nature or existence. After that, all the five ascetics become arahants straight away. That's why it's a very powerful sutra. Anatta is empty nature or non-self nature, meaning not a permanent unchanging entity. Via that realization, you will awaken. The five ascetics were not meditating. They were just listening attentively with their right view. Develop from their past cultivation and past paramis. That's how it can happen. And this is what meditation is all about. Not what you were originally taught by others. Those type of thought-based meditation, where they instruct you to do the noting, the concentrating, the focusing, the labeling, etc. They are not the real meditation. Because that one is thought-based. This is awareness-based. The real meditation doesn't use thought. You just develop the awareness. It's just aware, silent. And the silent mind, which is the meditative mind, which is also your true mind, will develop the understanding. It will awaken because it can insight into phenomena to see things as they are. But for you to have the ability to be silent, your spiritual faculty has to be very stable, especially the mindfulness. It has to be very stable. That's why it has to be ever mindful. The reason why it is not stable is because of your wrong view, your delusion, psychiatry, that condition your five mental hindrance. The mental hindrance are so powerful. They constantly hinder your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner mindfulness or awareness. That's the reason why throughout the day, living beings are hardly mindful or aware. If you are hardly aware or mindful, how can you become enlightened? How can you meditate or cultivate? The Buddha already mentioned clearly under Dhammapada verse 21, only the heedful never dies. And heedfulness is the path to the deathless, whereas the heedless are as if dead. And heedlessness is the path to the dead, which means spiritually, you don't stand a chance at all. Hence, you cannot awaken. If you don't develop the understanding of what heedfulness is and cultivate accordingly with that understanding, you can never penetrate his teaching to realize the awakening. Heedfulness is defined clearly by the Buddha under Dhammapada verse 23. The Buddha said the constantly meditative, ever mindful, and steadfast one means one who holds on to this practice or cultivation firmly will realize the supreme born-free nibbana, which is the enlightenment. So what is constantly meditative? Constantly cultivating the Noble Eightfold Path. Then ever mindful means you not only train your mind to be mindful or aware, you have to stabilize it until in the midst of life. You are constantly aware and ever mindful. This means the mindfulness, the inner awareness is always there. Then you are destined for enlightenment. You don't have to worry about what people say. You just do it, stabilize it, and you will realize a supreme born-free nibbana. That's why mindfulness is the first factors of enlightenment. Stabilize it until ever mindful. Then you can investigate them. Then all the other enlightenment factors will follow. Then you can use it to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path. This is what heedfulness is all about. If you are constantly meditative throughout the day, ever mindful to cultivate the Noble Teachings of the Buddha, which is the Noble Eightfold Path, it will lead you to the end of all suffering, the realization of Nibbana, which is the enlightenment in the here and the now. Okay? Okay, we have to understand the above very clearly. That's why I emphasize it again. Hopefully by now you can develop the understanding. Go back and read through it again and again to develop that clear understanding. Then your focus becomes very different and very clear. Then you will not go back to your old habitual way of meditation. The old way is just to seek peace. Just the moment you see, you just want to have calmness of mind and peacefulness of mind. Then you just want to force your mind to be mindful, aware. But you don't know what you are doing in the name of meditation because you have been so conditioned by your habitual tendencies. Besides, in the past, almost all meditation are taught that way, like you must see, you must know, you must do this, you must do that, you must do vipassana, you must do jhana. When you do without understanding, you are not focused. Then how can you progress? Progress can only happen when you understand. So first thing is to check against the Dhammapada verse 21, which states that heedfulness is very important because it mentioned the healers are as if dead. So you must check, are you healful or healers? If you are still healers, what must you do? If throughout the day, most of the time, you are not mindful at all, then how can you be healful? To be healful, you must be ever mindful. Then use it to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path. Then only the whole teaching can be understood. That's what the Klang Talk is all about. You must listen to the last Friday Klang Talk. It's very beautiful. Then only the whole of the cultivation of the Noble Eightfold Path can come about. The Noble Eightfold Path is a very elaborate set of cultivation, starting with right view or right understanding. There are three types of right view or right understanding. What are they? The spiritual law of karma, number one. Then the spiritual law of mind. Then finally, the four noble truth, which is the spiritual law of truth or Dhamma Niyama. So you have three. Law of karma, karma niyama, law of mind, citta niyama, and law of truth, Dhamma Niyama. That one alone is a lot of understanding required for you to develop the cultivation. So right view alone covers a very wide scope of cultivation. Even to understand the law of karma, leading to the understanding of how the advice of the Buddha comes about, it's not easy. That itself is a whole set of very elaborate cultivation. You have to train your mind to be ever mindful. Then only you can have the ability to be aware of your evil roots that condition you into coming negativity. Then only you can develop the understanding clearly on what constitutes evil. So unless you do all this, you cannot develop the understanding. So you have to understand clearly what constitutes evil, then develop mindfulness or heedfulness to actually see them. Then only you can follow the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil, which is the first thing you have to do. So without mindfulness, you cannot start. You cannot even be mindful of who you are, what you are. If you don't understand what constitutes evil, how can you cultivate the precepts? Because you can't even be aware of the evil roots. That's the reason why you all have to go into all this to develop the understanding. Then when you have the ability to identify what constitutes evil, the next step is to arise the right effort. The first right effort is to abandon the unwholesome thought or speech and action and livelihood that has arisen, followed by the other remaining three right efforts. So the other remaining three right efforts are very important. The right effort to prevent the arising of the unwholesome thought, speech, action, and whatever livelihood. Then the right effort is to cultivate all the virtue, the right thought, the wholesome thought, action and speech, and the right way of living life, right living, that is still not in you. Then followed by the final right effort, which is the fourth right effort, is to refine upon and perfect all those virtues, which are right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood that you have already developed. So not until the four right efforts are developed, your understanding will not be strong or stable. Then after you have done it, you can go to the next stage. You can reflect upon what you have heard or studied or cultivated. When you contemplate, reflect, you develop the straightening of views. Then when the straightening of view has arisen, you can prevent it from arising via the second right effort. So this one is just a more elaborate explanation. Then the third right effort is to develop those virtue, wholesomeness, kindness, and goodness that are still not in you. So all this right thought, right speech, right action, and right living, or right livelihood, you have to cultivate them all. Basically, the third right effort is to cultivate the right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood that are still not in you. To cultivate this, you have to understand what constitutes right thought, what constitutes right speech, and what constitutes right action, and what constitutes right livelihood or living. Write them down. Then only can you cultivate them and put them into practice so that you can, so that they can become a living reality or a part of you. This is a whole set of cultivation. The way you live your life, you have to be ever mindful, guided by the Noble Eightfold Path. You cannot debate, otherwise it is impossible for you all to understand all this. When you can write it down, only then can you have the understanding to arise the right effort to cultivate and develop all this right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood, all right living that are still not in you. Then finally, the fourth right effort is to purify or refine upon them and perfect all this virtue of right thought, right speech, right action, and right living or right livelihood. This is a very elaborate set of cultivation by itself too. If you have not done all this, it means you still have a lot of work to do. Then after that, of course, you can simultaneously cultivate the next path factor, which is sati, or mindfulness. After you have developed sati, you have to stabilize it until it is ever mindful. Then samadhi will arise. When sati and samadhi, with sati and samadhi in the midst of life, you will become constantly meditative and ever mindful. Then that is how you become heedful. Then you can see things as they are. The direct seeing will awaken your nature to the universal characteristics of nature, anicchang, dukkang, anatta, or impermanent, suffering state, and non-self nature. Then you are no longer deluded. After you awaken, you can straighten your view. Then you can see things as they are. Then you can cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path beautifully. This is how the whole Noble Eightfold Path is to be developed. When it comes to sati, you have to cover the four foundations of mindfulness. Otherwise, you cannot awaken. Then only you can understand what those enlightened beings said. They will tell you, truth is everywhere in the midst of life and nature. Why can't you see? For those who see, they always see, because the universal characteristics, which are true, are all in phenomena all the time, are in all phenomena all the time, everywhere in the midst of life and nature. So this is what the actual teaching points toward. When you understand all this, then you should write it down. You should use it as a checklist to inquire stage by stage. You have understood all this. When you meditate, you can check and inquire. Are you focused on all this understanding? That's why the first training is to train your mind to be mindful. Then stabilize it. Then use it to cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path. Then only there is this stability of mind to be ever mindful and constantly meditative throughout the day to begin the real cultivation. Hope you all understand. So this part is very important. That is, follow what I have taught you all from the first right view regarding the law of karma. Cultivate as per the advice of the Buddha. Then keep the precepts to avoid all evil. Develop mindfulness to cultivate the precept, means to enable you to avoid all evil. Then develop mindfulness to do good, to cultivate the four right efforts. Then understand what constitutes evil, what constitutes right thought, right speech, right action, right livelihood, etc. All this you have to do with understanding. Then only you can put it into practice and cultivate until this heedfulness become a part of you. Then the four foundation of mindfulness is what you have to do. Then you will come to the understanding that the so-called vipassana, or the form of meditation that you all used to do in the past, is only a small integral part of the whole Noble Eightfold Path cultivation. The Noble Eightfold Path starts from the three right view, and these three right view are very important from the law of karma. All his teachings are essential dharma on avoiding all evil. The good comes about. Then you have purification of mind. Also start from there. After that, you have the second right view, which is citta niyama, or the dwelling of paticca samuppada, means the order of the mind. To understand how you function as a human being, following the paticca samuppada or the law of dependent origination. Then you can see the link within your meditation. How your mind, due to ignorance, creates sankara activity. When you see something, don't react to it. Don't use knowledge. We are saying, oh, that is sankara. Or sankara paccaya vijnana. Forget about all this verbalization and thought-based doing. Just silence your mind to realize the truth. Theory is theory. The realization is the meditation itself. Then upon contact, not only feeling arise, sankara also arise, because ignorant contact condition one. Ignorant contact condition, delusion. So ignorant, avijja, dependent on avijja, you start to think, you create mental contact. Then ignorant contact condition the consciousness and its wrong content. That's why straight away from the link avijja paccaya sankara, sankara paccaya vijnanang, vijnanang paccaya namaru. Very fast. You cannot be at the moment of pure seeing, pure perception, the pure, what they call vijnana, or pure consciousness, like the Buddha said. In the seeing, there is only the seeing consciousness, no one to see. Unless you have the wisdom, the mindfulness, the stability of it, to be at the moment of contact, you cannot understand all these movements. That's why I put here, I said, theory is theory. The realization is in the meditation itself. Means you must silence, away and find out, not through thinking and knowledge. Then upon contact, you will come to know, not only feeling arise, sankara also arise, because ignorant contact condition one, condition sankara, may avijja paccaya sankara. When you don't have wisdom, it will condition, not only feeling. It becomes craving straight away. And then the mind, concord through memory. means develop what they call the movement Sankarasanya. We are like and dislike, which are mental states and mental activities. That's why avijja paccaya sankhara or ignorant contact condition mental activity, and it moves so fast. So you cannot see, and you still think. Upon contact, feeling arise. You try to look for feeling, or pasat paccaya vedana. Then you try to look for feeling. You try to note feeling. Note, and note, we are verbalizing. The mind moves so fast. Sankhara inside churning and moving so fast. That's why it concord. That's why concording going on. And yet you are still so gullibly noting, feeling. And what to cut a feeling? Or how to cut a feeling? Or you want to cut a feeling? All these are verbalization, thought-based approach, not the real meditation. The real meditation has no words. It's just silently aware. Through that silence, the true mind will awaken. It will understand what this is. Then all of a sudden, the understanding will be there. The mind will realize. Then it becomes so different, so profound. Then after that, your mindfulness becomes very stable because you have straightened your view. Straightened your view means you have developed more understanding, less avijja, less ignorance, and less delusion. So the first tooling, avijja paccaya sankhara, has been weakened. That's why I say, then what happened to the first tooling? Yes, they have been weakened. That's why you have less thought, less thinking, just like what Sister Amy said. That's why if your meditation does not lead you to have less thought within the free mind state, you are not doing it correctly. But if you force your thought not to arise through concentration or one-pointedness, samatha, or a conditioned state, that is also not the real one. The thought must be less and less in the midst of your daily life, leading to more clarity, hence more heedful living. The question is, why must you think? You think because you don't understand. You lack right view. That's why avijja. If there is no avijja, who is there to think? That's why the egoic mind comes from ignorance, sakkayadity. Things is just the way it is. Then you will come to the understanding. Think also like that. Don't think also like that. Can you all remember what I told you all before? Which is, think also like that. Don't think also like that. I only use thought when I need to share something with people. When I need to interact with people, and when I need to communicate with the world, then I have to use thoughts, words, and speech. That's why this form of mind is just a segmented life for my nature to come to this existential world and to use it while in this existential world. But it is not me. When you understand this, you can be in the midst of muck and yet be separated from muck. That is the meaning. So that is the true meaning of what cultivation is. The form and mind becomes a vehicle and a tool for my nature to come and make use of. This is not me. Hence, I don't have to worry about it getting old, getting sick and dying. I trust that karmic nature, because if I take care of karma, karma will take care of my former mind or life. That's it. If you take care of karma, karma take care of your life. If you don't take care of karma, the former mind suffer, because the form in my supper and becomes miserable. Even though not you, but your consciousness is trapped inside your form. That's why the form and mind through delusion can still become afflicted, miserable. And that is what the teaching on suffering is all about. Even though not you, but because of ignorant delusion, you will grasp, you will cling, you will believe it's you. That's why there is such a thing as suffering, such a thing as birth leading to old age, sickness, and death. This is what the real teaching is all about, not what you think. A lot of people through delusion do not know what they will say. Do you know what they will say? They say, it's anatta lah, not me. So I will do first. Because next life, somebody else suffer. They go and think like this. Then they think in this way. Now I rob, I rape, I MS well, everything. I do this life. Then next life, not me, another guy suffer. He goes on and think that way. Then when he kills, he also wants to justify via saying, this is only a form of mind, not me, not a being, so I don't kill. Maybe when you go to court, you can tell this to the judge, I didn't kill. My teaching tells me that this is not real, just a form of mind only. You go and try, then see whether the judge believes you or sentence you. If in China, you will immediately qiangbi, means sentence to death sentence through shooting you. So they will sentence you to death with capital punishment, means they kill you. So all this need understanding. Without understanding, the thought can actually condition you into this type of wrong thinking. Then you still think you are right. You still want to justify your action. So this is the part. Because of condition, I have to share it with you. And hopefully, it will help you all. Okay? I think we can stop here already. So we stop here now. Okay, I'll mark this page. What is the page?
39.
Okay, page 39. Okay, now we can off the light and have our 45 minutes of awareness-based meditation. So you just relax body and mind and maintain awareness. Then stabilize your awareness. Then the last support is trust. So I will set the alarm for 45 minutes. Okay. You can slowly, mindfully come out of meditation. Then we shall continue with our second session.
Hello, Amitabha.
Yeah, Amitabha.
Mr. Steele. Okay, Amitas.
Yeah.
Thank you, Sister Ingrid, for inviting me for this Dharma sharing.
Yeah.
First of all, I am very grateful that I attended the Cameron High Lunch Retreat despite the short retreat together with Alethio and Kayamitas.
Yes.
I learned different things, you know. From the usual retreat that I expected. So it's all about expectation, you know, and not the reality. But anyway, we are quite grounded in a way that we take things, in a realistic manner. One thing I want to share and maybe ask Brother Teo is about this karmic nature. During the retreat also, I heard somebody was talking about this as well.
Yes.
And also I heard Brother Teo say this also. Let me put the question or the statement accurately. Yeah.
Okay.
But you were saying trust our karmic nature, you know.
Yes.
Trust our karmic nature. I think today also, Brother also mentioned about trust our karmic nature.
Yeah.
Because if you take care of karma, you know, your karmic nature
will
take care of you, you know.
Yes.
So, Brother, we are confident Brother has a good karmic nature because, you know, based on Brother's past cultivation and this life cultivation, you know, Brother, we are very confident of Brother's karmic nature. But the rest of us are Brother, huh?
Yeah.
Our karma nature is a mixed bag of good and bad, you know. Firstly, we learn the Dharma late. And secondly, we also connect to our nature late. So we before the Dharma, we do all sort of nonsense. And then after the learning the Dharma, and if you did not connect to your nature, you also have a bag of good and bad as well. So in other words, our karmic nature not so strong, Brother, right?
Don't worry about that, because everybody has their own respective karmic nature at any one time. Yeah? So you, as a cultivator, we try not to like dwell on all those things. Because a lot of people, when they fail to develop clear understanding of what this cultivation is all about, then they tend to like justify by saying that our karmic nature is not so strong. So when we come, we may not have all those favorable conditions and understanding to inherit all those things. But the more important thing is, like you said, you look at reality, Anasana. Reality means what? This moment, this life, this segmented form and mind that come. Because everything, we need to start from a zero base. Then we approach what we are. So what is more important is the ability to encounter the Buddha Dharma, to be born a human being. Then from there, we develop the condition to cultivate. Then as we cultivate, we have to start to relearn all these things. Because like what I used to explain earlier on, if you can maybe recall, then you will develop the understanding. Because the whole understanding is quite difficult, quite complex. As I just now in the sharing, you may hear in the very opening statement when Fata was reading through the Six Patriarch Black Form Sutta, when he reached the stage where Hui Ning, the Six Patriarch, asked him to stop. Yeah, that is about understanding the causes and conditions. For the Thus Come One or the Sammasambuddha to arise within the conditional. And what is the main causes and condition? Is to share this understanding, to teach this understanding, so that living beings will not be deluded, will not be deceived by what the condition world is all about. That's why he talked about sharing the Sammasambuddha's perfection and great understanding of what life and existence is. So within life, within existence, he said, living beings suffer is because they cling, grasp to external, the marks that they see within the external phenomenal world, condition arising world, thinking that they are real. And the other opposite is they attach and cling to emptiness within. So this understanding, if you don't have what they call the true perfect awakening based on what the Buddha has realized, then you cannot understand life. You cannot live life. Then what will happen is living being will suffer, like what the Buddha mentioned. So the real understanding is to be able to develop the understanding of both the conditioned and the unconditioned, which is related to your question about the karmic nature. And of course, there is also the spiritual nature. Maybe it gives me the condition to explain this again. And this one is a very important understanding, but that is the main reason for Sammasambuddha to arise, so that this understanding can be transmitted to the world, to living beings, especially human beings. So what is important is you must be able to live in the existential world among Mark and not affected by Mark. Then do not be deluded by the internal, because when they attach or cling on to emptiness, which they think is something that they can hold on to, then they can free, but they are still deluded, because the true emptiness is to be applied in the conditioned world. Within the unconditioned, you know, he know you, he know me, and all those things. That's why in true emptiness, everything don't exist. But this understanding or this wisdom that you realize within your nature is to be applied to the conditioned world. That's why he said, you must have the ability to live within the conditioned world of Mark's phenomenal existence, and yet not affected by it. Means you understand the unconditioned Dhamma and apply it to the conditioned world. And that is the wisdom that is needed, the penetrative one. And that is the message that the Buddha wanted to teach and impart to the world. That's why it's so important. Okay? So that part I have summarized to you again and share with you again. Now I will go into the specific question about the karmic nature. Okay? Do you have any... sorry, just now I didn't let you finish. You just said maybe you believe Brother Teo has very strong karmic nature. Then you all, most of you all, may not have whatever. Then what is your question, Bojeng? Before I go into the whole
thing. Actually, Brother Teo, what I was saying is because during the what you call that, when somebody got the retreat, right? Somebody got the COVID, right? So yeah. I heard that somebody mentioned that we must trust our karmic nature, you know, because we take care of our karma.
Correct.
And then also Brother Teo also mentioned that I trust.
Yes. But do you have any specific question?
No. My question is, you see, because you, Brother Teo, your karmic nature is strong. For most of us, our karmic nature is a mixed bag of good and bad. Despite that we want to trust our karmic nature, we do a lot more protection for ourselves, you know, to avoid getting the COVID lah. I mean, that is the right thing to do. We have to do what we have to do, you know.
Correct. Not to say
that we just ignore the COVID that is around and then
That's why the understanding is there. The understanding will be there on automatically.
Correct. But that doesn't mean what I'm saying is, when Brother Teo said, I trust my karmic nature, that doesn't mean all of us just ignore, don't do what we need to do.
Correct.
You are right in that aspect.
Yeah, you are right in that aspect. I will explain further after this. You see, when we say we have to trust our karmic nature, means we trust the nature's law, understand? As long as you take care of nature's law, whatever that arises is actually based on nature's law. So What I believe you try to develop as understanding is not to ignore by saying that, ah yeah, we trust our karmic nature. So why worry? It's not like that. It's just like when I say, let things be. So don't develop the wrong understanding of what I mean. Because some people will go and quote, hey, Brad, you say, let things be. You know, you're so capable for what? Means that person totally don't understand what I mean. Let things be means you accept the reality of the moment first. Understand or not? Doesn't mean you don't act. After that, you still act. When I say trust your karmic nature, it's the same. Means there are certain duty that we have to do. We have to act in accordance with that understanding. When we do our duty, we got no negativity. Then we take care of karma. Then karma will take care of our life. Then the understanding will enable you to act, like I explained. COVID need understanding too. Not only the spiritual understanding, but the technical aspect behind it, the scientific aspect behind it, all this need understanding. And when you have understanding, you don't have to fear, understand? You don't have to worry. You don't have to allow your thought to continue to condition you, stir you, and like make you worry for no reason, understand? But the reality is, like I always say, listen to this again, but this is not easy. This one takes time to stabilize. These are realities of life and existence. Okay? The first noble truth reality. And one of them is what? Disease. Understand? So COVID-19 is one of the diseases. Understand? So you like it or not, this is the reality. So the reality manifests because of causes and conditions, understand? So when they arise, they arise. In actual fact, it's no different from all the critical disease, traumatic disease, and all things. But actually, they are not as severe as those diseases, understand? Like certain type of traumatic disease, like cancer and all things. The moment you diagnose, maybe stage 4 or stage 5, you got left with 6 months only. That one is very critical, very traumatic. Then there are others. But this one, the COVID-19, it has evolved until what we call it no longer so potent. But the rate it spread is very fast. Because when it mutates, it just wants to maintain its existence by refusing to die. Because the virus is also part of nature, like the thought. The thought refuses to die. That's why it's egoic. That's why it creates delusion and wants you to cling onto it. And they want this thought to have power over living beings. That's why the thought refuses to die. Because if the thought dies, there is no more delusion, no more story. Then that being also don't exist, because they only exist is because they think that is the only instrument they have. But they don't know they have another instrument, which is the true mind, the silent mind, the awareness nature that is beyond thought, beyond mind. So without that understanding, they cannot cultivate and develop the wisdom to actually transcend all this and go beyond all this. So with this understanding, we accept whatever arises as the reality. Then we act with what? With right view. We don't act out of memory through fear, worry, insecurity, understand? Or like panic, understand? That one won't help us. We have gone through. Now it's a stage which is more refined. More refined means what? When you confront something like a pandemic or what, which the world hasn't actually gone through much before. In the past, maybe it has happened, like the Spanish flu and the plague, and all those things. But we were not around, understand now. But for our generation, when we are around, this pandemic, COVID-19 is maybe the very first that actually took the planet by storm. Means it is very, very worldwide. The whole planet affected. Yeah. Not like SARS and the earlier one. Quite regional and limited. Not widespread. Even SARS, that time also we heard about a lot of people die. But we know only those who are involved in the livelihood, touch the pig and all those things, and do all the frozen food or whatever. Only those people are affected. Then it did not mutate until it become like very contagious. Understand? And because of that, we were at that time, the consciousness was better. Then there is one professor in UM, I remember. Professor Lam Sai Kek, I think. Get out of it, I forgot already. He's very good. He isolated the virus, Nipah virus. And because of that, the World Health Organization, together with all the other universities, they came out with understanding and solution. Then they were able to treat it. Then SARS also affected the airline a little bit, but not severe, only limited area affected. Then it like slowly, slowly, over time, died out. But this one is worldwide. And people don't understand the panic and the fear come because of lack of understanding and information were contradictory. The vaccine, everything. But you don't allow your mind as a cultivator to be influenced by all the social media and whatever. In whatever profession, like we know, the law of yin and yang, yin yang or duality. In whatever profession, there are pros and cons or good and bad people, professional and non-professional. Or they call it the black sheep of society. Everywhere. Yeah. Like those who advocate vaccine, those who are anti-vax, and all those. This group of people exists. And when they write something on social media, well, they got an agenda, they got a motive. Then some, they just like gullible, they just pass on the information and all things, like to create excitement or create panic or let people have the impression that, wow, this person is very up to date or he have a lot of information, you know. But all this will recycle, understand? Depending on who you know and what circle you are in. Knowing this, within the existential world of Ma, we have to live life. We have to act with understanding so that we are above the Ma, understand? Not affected by the Ma. That is what Dhamma is all about. That is wisdom. Like you pointed out correctly, it doesn't mean you believe your karmic nature, you trust your karmic nature, you don't do anything. So this is, I think, your first point that you want to clarify. That. So I confirm it, you are correct. I clarify it really. Do you have any other further question, Pujay?
No. That is what I meant. Right? You know, we don't just trust that and then don't do anything. You know.
Correct. Don't get the Dhamma wrong. It's just like I say, let things be. Then they say you so capable for what? Let things be means what? You accept the reality first. I don't say you don't act. You act, but when there is condition to act, only you act and yourself. So that one is easier. That's why I say now we are moving into another phase of the existential world's first noble truth reality, which are more impactful, understand? Which are more universal in its spread and all those things, which grips everybody, understand? And to put to test whether you have the Dhamma or not is to check whether you can act under such situation or not. Well, most people under this situation has a lot of fear because they don't understand. Then they look at certain social media, they say, wow, so many people died, you know, so many people admitted to Sungai Buloh. At one time, hospital also not enough, staff also not enough, a lot of things were shortage. So people were panicking. But what is there to panic? Like you say, you still have to do what you have to do. The advice given by the medical professional who are good, you can use your understanding to follow. Like wash your hand, wear a mask, secure yourself so that you also secure, prevent others from being affected. Spread the, slow down the spread of the virus and all those things. Then do whatever that is recommended, social distancing and all those things. That's why we have the movement control. These are the human's way through understanding they learn. Then they started by implementing all this. But when they start to implement, everything you do has its effect, understand? Cause and condition, causes and condition. So the effect is what? The economy gets affected, understand? That's why movement control is good for the control of disease, but bad for the economy, understand? That's why the world has to act, and government has to act. Poor countries don't have resources and money to buy the vaccine. Only wealthy, rich, developed countries have the means, but they also pay through their nose, understand? So these are the facet of Dhamma that the world never experienced before. So as cultivator, to understand whether we have the Dhamma, the real cultivation and understanding or not, is to go through it to understand. Like for me, I never fear. I never have any worry. I just tell my wife, you don't worry. You do what we have to do. That's why when we had a good condition to actually came to know Dr. J, then he recommended the vaccine, not the vaccine, but his hemotherapy. He called it preventive. I think it's like an antidote or whatever, where you take once a month. Then I trust him. I feel that there is something good. That's why I take. Then we all, nothing happened to us. My wife, myself, and my daughter, until today, touch wood, we never kena COVID. Until today. So, you can disbelieve or you believe, not important. To me, is how you take care, how you approach. Then you listen around, almost all kayamita, a lot of them also kena, but it is not something life and death. And, most of them recover. And later on, we come to know 99.3% is asymptomatic or mild condition. They only very small percentage succumb to it and have some form of situation. So now the risk is so low. So when you understand all this, you will know how to actually observe and understand and accord and flow. That's why now Singapore and even Malaysia, they are doing away with the masking already, even in the mall or whatever public area. Then international travel has opened up and started. Even the vaccine thing is like slowly, slowly, vaccination thing like non-issue anymore. So this is what observation through understanding and awareness can allow us to develop the understanding of life, existence. So all these are very beautiful training. That's why to me, whatever that arises within existence or life, that is our greatest teacher. It really teaches, understand? And we learn. Whatever we learn is really beautiful. And you must have that understanding to be able to come out with that ability to live it, understand, beautifully. So this part, I hope by now is clear. Kayamita can have all this understanding. So, Bocheng, thank you so much for bringing out the causes and conditions for us to share this, which is very good. So, before I continue to explain the karmic nature and spiritual nature, do you have any other specific question with regards to karmic nature, apart from what you highlighted just now?
No particular karmic question, but I just want to highlight that today's sharing is also very beautiful, especially a few pages that I want to highlight. Maybe you want to share your karmic nature and spiritual nature first before I highlight a few pages that you shared that I thought was very good.
Can afterwards I finish off sharing on the karmic nature and spiritual nature.
Okay.
So this one you all have to listen again. This is a revision. And I believe this revision is easier for you all to understand. So we start off by drawing out the usual things that you need to understand. Okay. First is karmic nature. Then there is a spiritual nature. You have to understand this word, nature, which means it's not a being, understand? It's a nature. A nature means it is something that exists within nature based on nature's law. So what is this karmic nature? I have already explained in the past. It's the summation. We have to use the mathematical reverse E summation of all your moment to moment plus moment to moment plus segmented plus all your infinite segmented life. Oh, sorry, life is V. So, summation of 1 to infinity means to date. All of your moment to moment of coming volition, understand? Moment to moment of coming volition. Volition means your mental intention, understand? So, all this coming volition that one arise throughout the day until you die. Then every line, every segment, again, you sum it up. All this summation of all this become your karmic nature. So the Buddha said, this karmic nature, it has its characteristic. We, as one of the living being, means as a human being. But not only human being, is it? All beings means all living beings, irrespective of whether human beings or animals or non-human or whatever within the 31 plane of existence. We are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. And we are what we are because of our karma. So this karmic nature is a nature, it's not a being. Understand? But every life you come, this segmented life that you come, this one is a living being, or we call it, our case, a living being, a human being. So this human being is what the Buddha said, the five aggregate of form and mind. And this is karmically conditioned, understand? So this five aggregate of form and mind is karmically conditional from our karmic nature. So from this karmic nature, it conditioned a form and mind to arise in the conditioned world. Because without the karmic nature, you cannot come. But because of this karmic nature, to come to our existential world or conditioned world, we need a form and mind, which the Buddha called the five aggregates of form and mind. And there are two aspects. One aspect is as a human being or a living being. The second aspect is the mental, five aggregates of form and mind. So this part, you like it or not, the moment you are born of it, air to it, condition supported by it, and you are what you are because of it. That's why the Buddha knew that there is this law of karma. You reap what you sow. Do good, begets good. Do evil, begets evil. And you plant the seed of evil, you reap the fruit of evil. You plant the seed of wholesomeness, you reap the fruit of wholesomeness. And because of that, we need to take care of this karma so that our karmic nature is beautiful, so that whenever we come, even though we are born of it, heir to it, conditioned and supported by it, and we are what we are because of it, we will be beautiful. That's why you take care of mind take care of karma, karma take care of your life. That is what the secret is. So how to take care of karma? That's why the Buddha came out with his understanding because of his perfection. Over aeons of cultivation and perfection, he came to know this law. He said, to take care of karma, you have to avoid all evil. And he even explained to us what constitute evil. The three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion constitute evil. That's why all his essential Dhamma basic teachings spin off from here. And how do we take care of karma? He said, you must understand what constitutes evil. Then develop mindfulness or train your mind to be aware so that you are aware of your mental intention that has the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. Then you have to learn how to abandon them or prevent them from arising. Then the foreign effort come in. So to take care of karma, to avoid all evil, we have to actually develop mindfulness and understand what constitutes evil. Then only we can prevent ourselves from falling into negativity of karma. That's why he introduced the five precepts. What are the five precepts? They constitute major karma. When you violate the five precepts, means you have the three evil roots, and you actually cause karmic negativity and downfall. That's why keeping of precept is to avoid severe karma or what they call the karmic that has very strong evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion that we went through. If you check all the karma, the five precepts that the Buddha introduced, if you violate them, it constitutes major karmic negativity. Like the first precept, killing. We undertake the training rule to abstain from killing or causing harm to fellow living beings. Who kill? Who harm? Who create all this mischief? It's normally deluded being, violent being, emotional being, selfish being. Those that have the negative tendency, hatred, jealousy, anger, very intense aversion, unhappiness. All these are the three evil roots. There are sometimes people out of fear, out of insecurity, out of delusion, doubt, and all those things. They also kill and harm. But mainly it's delusion and selfishness where they believe they exist. You check the other precepts, they are the same. So this karmic nature, once you understand the importance of taking care of karma, so that when you come, you have a beautiful inheritance. And that is basically what life is. That's why the Buddha said, if you follow his advice, the first one is to avoid all evil, keeping the precept, is already prevent you from coming downfall. Prevent your karmic nature from going downhill. Then the second advice is do good, cultivate wholesomeness, virtue. Whatever wholesomeness and virtue you must cultivate. That one is to improve on the good karma, to develop merits, to develop blessings. so that your life can be enhanced. You not only don't commit major evils so that you don't suffer so much, but you also have the virtue, the merits, the blessing to make your life beautiful. Then the last advice is to purify your mind, to meditate through awareness, to develop wisdom and understanding so that you are not entangled by the reality of life and existence that actually afflict living beings. And the reality is getting old, aging, getting sick, injury and all things, and death. So this first three reality, including birth, the first four reality, these are reality of life and existence. Without wisdom, with all the merits that you have, it cannot help you much, understand? Maybe with the money, with the wealth, it can give you better facilities, understand? Maybe stay in the first class ward, have good doctors, good professional specialists and all things to attend to you. But what they do? Most of them give you drugs, understand? Give you medication, and life is not easy, miserable. And because they are those category of profession, they do their work, they do their duty. So without wisdom, without the understanding of the teaching, when it comes to aging, sickness, disease, and death, or injury, all this reality when they hit, without the Dhamma wisdom, you will still be afflicted, become miserable, despite whatever you have. But it cannot buy you health, understand? It cannot make you young again, understand? It cannot make you free from old age, sickness, and death. That's why the Buddha left the palace to in search for this answer, is because he knows this physical body of his is beyond old age, sickness, and death. Yeah. Then finally, when he realized that the form of mind is not him, he free, he liberate his mind. That's how he developed the understanding and impact to us. So first thing first for living being is to develop this karmic understanding, the law of karma, so that you understand life. When you understand life, you know how to live life by following the advice of the Buddha, not to violate this nature's law anymore. So this one is immediate. The moment you are born, it comes into play. That's why we have to take care of this first. So when you take care of karma, you take care of your life because you are born of it, air to it, conditions for the world, and you are what you are because of it. And that's how the essential Dhamma come about, the three evil roots, the five precepts, yeah? And the Buddha's advice, Dhammapada verse 183. Sabba papasa akarana kusalesa upasampada. Sachitta pariyodhapana etang buddhana sasana. So when you understand all this, then you become worthy of the Buddhas. Means when you call yourself a Buddhist, yeah, or a Dhamma practitioner, or a disciple of the Buddha, means you are worthy of the Buddha, at least. You follow his advice, Asana. If you don't even follow his advice, then you say you're a Buddhist, it has no meaning in it. So as a true Buddhist, is to understand the Buddha's teaching and see the importance of karma and take care of karma by following his advice. That's why the first step is to follow the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil, do good, and purify the mind. And that is how you start your cultivation. Then to support you, of course, the Buddha come out with the other essential Dhamma. He said you must have Dana Parami. Means through your goodness, through your wholesomeness, through your generosity, you develop all this virtue, all these merits and blessings, which will be useful for your life because you are born of it, air to it, conditions brought by it, and you are what you are because of it. So that part on the karmic nature, now we know. So what I share with you is just a general run-through so that you develop this understanding. The second aspect is the spiritual nature. This one is like the karmic nature. It is the summation of all your cultivation and your perfection, all your true virtue and wisdom, the spiritual understanding, the spiritual perfection. So this is summation of all our spiritual perfection and understanding. So this cultivation is like the coming nature to be done all throughout your existence that you come with a form in mind. But the only difference between the spiritual nature and the coming nature is the spiritual nature, the moment you are born, you cannot inherit anything. You can only inherit from the spiritual nature after you have developed the basic understanding of what meditation is and how to develop the understanding of the two aspects of mind, your true mind, which is the awareness nature, and your mundane mind, the thinking mind, means the condition arising, dependent originating mind. So this mundane mind is the basis of life, because living being, most living being, especially human being, they only know how to use the mundane mind, the thought process, the thinking aspect. But they don't know they have another nature within, another mind, which is the true mind, the silent mind, the awareness nature within, that only can be realized when thought cease, when there is no thinking, when there is no arising of the five aggregate of form and mind, that pure nature, awareness nature. Actually behind the awareness nature, where this is the first to come out from the source, behind the awareness nature is our true nature, or we call it the oneness nature, or some call it the Buddha nature. Then different religion who understand call it by different name, not important. The words is not that thing. That thing is the unconditioned before anything arises. Some call it the source. That's why it's also called the source. Then some in Mahayana, they call it the original nature, 本来的面目, or 自性, true nature, or Buddha nature, 佛性. So all these are names given. Then always remember, these are the unconditioned. You cannot talk about it, where there is no mind, no word, no concept, nothing. But the first thing to come out is the awareness nature. The awareness nature is a very powerful tool for you to see things as they are, to awaken, to develop wisdom, everything, so that you know how to live life. So to live life is to use that pure awareness nature that come out, the first to come out, like I have shared with you all. That one, before it create thinking, the mundane mind, the line is very, very fine, very near. From that nature, thought come out very fast. The mundane mind arise very fast. But when you don't have the understanding, you don't know how to silence your mind to realize your true mind, then you are constantly lost in thought. That's how you become heedless. That's how living beings get into trouble, entangle themselves, and finally through delusion, ignorance, sakayaditi, create unnecessary suffering and affliction for themselves. And this is what the teaching is all about. Just like just now what is shared inside the 54th lesson of the Six Patriarch, like from Sutta. He said the reason why the Buddha came to this existential world is to teach and share this understanding. Living beings' problem is because they attach and cling onto the external phenomenal world created by the thought process, the mundane mind. That's why that one is the main delusion. Then they also attach and cling to emptiness internally within, where they think everything is empty, don't have to bother. But there is a concept an idea, not an awakening. But when you realize through the spiritual nature, the awareness nature, you meditate and that form and mind realize itself and cease, then you realize Nibbana, which is the enlightenment and the condition. Then when you come out from that nature, you understand what this creation is all about. You understand what the form and mind is all about. You understand what that mundane mind is all about. Then all the three right view, the nature's law that governs the law of karma, karma niyama, the law of mind, and the law of truth, you start to understand. That's how you develop wisdom. And with the wisdom connected to this karmic nature, so from here, the first thing to come out is the pure awareness. Then like the triangle, you use it to cultivate. Then cultivate to realize wisdom. So this is what the teaching is all about. When you develop this wisdom, then this wisdom is the one that frees your mind. So this wisdom connected to the karmic nature or the five aggregate of form and mind. So once it's connected to the five aggregate of form and mind, then this wisdom actually frees the five aggregate of form and mind. Then from here, the form and mind will not suffer and it will take care of your karmic nature. That's why without wisdom, your karmic nature cannot go out. You cannot perfect your karmic nature. But this wisdom connected to the five aggregate of form and mind is very important. Once this one happens, this wisdom is what the Buddha called Yoniso Manasikara, wisdom at the moment of sense experience. This one is within your spiritual nature. It will manifest. No need to remember, no need memory. So this one, once it's developed through that pure awareness, it will connect to the five aggregate of form and mind. Then this one is no longer deluded. This one, the mind free, liberate. It does not suffer anymore. That's why you can live the life of an enlightened being, the third phase of Dhamma, Pativeda. So this is the summary of the full picture. When you understand this, you understand life, you know how to live life, then you know how to develop what they call the noble life, the life of an enlightened being. So this is basically what you need as understanding. Yeah? So hopefully with this, I don't know how many times I have shared this, but today I try to make it a bit more clearer so that people can develop the understanding. Okay, now Pocheng, you can share your part.
Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Radio, yeah. This is a very good summary.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, I guess this now, what Brother Teo mentioned about this karmic nature is becoming not a theory.
Yeah, it's not a theory.
Yes.
It's something it's that you can realize because it's part of nature. You can see the causes and conditions behind, and you can see the manifestation of it. Sometimes before it happened, my nature can sense already. The causes and conditions are there already. The sign is there already. That's why you can sense it. Then it really manifests on. Then before it arises, also my nature will know one. So all this is very, very beautiful and it can be realized on. It's not a theory or a philosophy or somebody come up with their ideology. No. Is the nature's truth, nature's understanding. That's why these are evergreen truth. Even from the first Sammasambuddha, Virachana Buddha until now, the same fact, the same truth, the same teaching until now is exactly the same. No variation, nothing. So that's why for those who understand, this is truly a teaching that is very, very extensive or ultimate. Reaching is ultimate understanding. It's not just from one being, one life. It's from the perfection of a Sammasambuddha who has developed all this over aeons and aeons and aeons of perfect death. Then with that perfection understanding, he able to come back and tell the story and share with living beings. That's why this is the most complete and ultimate understanding of life and existence. And this one, nothing esoteric, nothing magical. Everything can be understood. Yeah, it's very, very down to earth, very basic. And if you are a being that has the affinity, the faith, the sincerity to go this way and you persevere, this whole teaching can be realized. You don't need to be like special or whatever. No. In fact, every Sammasambuddha, they start from scratch, like a normal Puttujana who has zero base, they start. But the journey is very, very long. So to accomplish all this and to have all this understanding is not easy. Okay? Yeah, you continue. Puching, Sadhu.
Roberto, for me, because you put it in these two summary of summation of the karmic nature and the summation of the spiritual nature, right?
Yeah.
It gives me a different perspective how to look at my karmic and a spiritual nature in this perspective rather than the circles that Roberto always
draw. Definitely, yes.
So this make me, suddenly I do not know my heart, like feel the vibration inside, you know what I said?
Yeah.
Suddenly
feel
I come
that
up with
joy,
this,
that nature. Yes. Develop that joy, because this understanding is important to you, your nature. Your nature then it will have its effect, isn't it?
Yes, you know what happened? Suddenly the words come out that I say, I also don't know why I say it. It's not
upon your nature.
And then my heart, I don't know why, is it vibrating, like you open up. And then after that, you know what I saw on the radio?
Yeah.
What you mentioned just now about this phrase at the appearance of the Buddha and things like that. Remember the first paragraph you mentioned? Important message from the Buddha,
that
people are, the causes and conditions, and people are attached to the mark and affected by the mark. And then after
externally
that,
and internally to
emptiness. Yes, correct. Yes. And then you mentioned about the emptiness. It hit me so hard. And then this, it's not a theory to me. I don't know why I say that, but and then it opens up my vision of Adutio, you know, that when you are deluded, you are attached to the emptiness. And then it's a theory, is it? Because when you're deluded, this
because
will be a
you
theory
haven't
real
they haven't realized it.
Correct.
They say everything is kongsing emptiness.
Correct.
But that
correct.
Is just theory, it's not a realization and awakening.
Correct. So all this hit me so hard, you know. It was like my heart was hitting so, and I don't know why my heart was vibrating, that this was all come out to me. And it appeared to me so clearly that I know why they are deluded, because they are attached to this emptiness.
Correct,
and this is a theory to them. And then this all these words come to me that to them is a theory, therefore they are so deluded. But if you really realize it, this is not a theory.
Reality that is not a theory. Yeah, this
correct,
is something that can be realized.
Correct,
and these are
correct.
So beautiful. The teaching is so beautiful, so in depth.
I have
so
much
ultimate.
Joy. I have so much joy. You know?
Not only you, I think a lot of Kayamita who understand also have so much joy.
It's so beautiful, you know, it's so beautiful.
We should thank you for creating the good condition for me to explain all this. This is meant to be. You know, all this teaching has to come out already. The understanding, you all have to go in deeper and deeper so that all this understanding can actually greatly revolutionize your understanding and transform your cultivation. And this can really give rise to faith and deep understanding of life. Well, this is the secret that has been hidden from humanity for too long. even among, sorry, pardon me for saying it, a lot of so-called cultivator of the way or so-called Buddhists, they cannot connect these two, the mundane and the supramundane, the unconditioned and the conditioned, to have the ability to live within the muck and not affected by the muck. Not easy to understand that the form and mind is not the true nature, that is karmically conditioned. Condition arising cause of no, it has the universal characteristic anicca dukkha anatta, and it's subject to karma. All this very few people understand. Not until they listen to all this, then they can put in place the teaching. Then they realize actually the teaching is meant to be like that, not what has been taught in the past. That's why when I first came out, I want to develop the sharing. I hold back. I don't. Because what I realize is completely opposite of what has been taught and shared and popularly accepted at that time. Yeah. Then later on, luckily, Yun Chan came 15 years later, 2004. Then things start to happen again. And now there is condition to explain all this because people have that base to understand all this, and then the teaching become very different. Then it starts to surface that type of higher teaching, the more penetrative teaching. It's just like Sammasambuddha Sakyamuni. Initially, he cannot teach all those higher teaching to his disciples. He has to wait till they're not around, middle of the night. That's why he not enough rest. It seems a lot of beings, the devas and all those things, the disciples, after the lay people finish, then they go and see the Buddha. Then the Buddha also went up to the to Sita heaven, Tavatinsa heaven, the deva realm. They also share the teaching up there, preach up there. And he can create transformation body and be around in many places. That is what he, that is the reason why he had not enough rest. He actually go all out and sacrifice his physical health just because he wants to share all this as soon as he can, so that that worn out block out his physical body, which is anytime about to be like the condition about to dismantle itself. We are worn out already, anytime can collapse already. So before it collapses, he wants all this teaching to be taught. That's why he pushed for it out of love and compassion. Then because he's a Sammasambuddha, he knows all this teaching can be preserved in its nature's way, so that later on, when later beings arise, it will be actually transmitted. And when they are transmitted, it will rise again. It also depends on causes and conditions. Yeah. You cannot go against nature. When there is no condition, nothing happens. That's why you need causes and conditions. You need cravings to arise. That's why six patriarch, when he arise, it actually take the Mahayana teaching to different heart, different understanding. Then when the other great beings come, even like Jay Krishnamurti or those things, they expanded on it. Then, of course, my nature come, we also expanded on it. Then the teaching become like clearer and clearer and clearer. And when it's the truth, it's very potent. It has its potency to awaken living beings, to develop clear understanding. That's why those who seek truth sincerely and have faith, when they listen to all this, they will awaken. But this one points straight, direct to that true mind, to that nature, to that understanding. And when you have that condition, that nature will know, and they will develop the understanding. And that's why it, from there, it will continue to expand. That's why all this, the website, everything, they fall into place, the transcript book, especially the Heart Sutta, it will stay for very long. And people will benefit a lot from the book. So from there, the base has been set, then people can actually continue to develop further understanding to improve on it, to like develop more extensive understanding. That's why all this can be expanded on, just like what my nature did when I come. I try to link Theravada and Mahayana together so that people can resolve their misunderstanding and prevent further division. Then from them, as one vehicle, we move. Then we connect to the truth that J. Krishnamurti have shared. It can be explained in the teaching of the Buddha. No different. Although Krishnamurti used his own word, but the teaching is the same. Words may be different, but it points towards the same truth, same understanding. Then when you expand on all this, the understanding develops further, further, further. Then this will benefit the world. It will definitely benefit the world, and it will become very, very beautiful. So very good, watching. So you can continue with all your highlighted one. You mentioned just now you developed.
Yeah. So, for this opening of the message, it hit me so hard just now. It just hit me so hard. There's so much joy, and then the words came out just like that.
Yeah.
And to me, that is not a theory, but I think that is a theory. It's really a theory, you know.
Correct.
And it will not benefit you if continues to be a theory, because you cannot calculate the truth, you cannot see the truth, you know.
And
today the sharing, what I said is because I highlighted a few, because this is a real focus for cultivators. The few pages that Brother Steele shared today, right?
Highlight pages.
The focus, you know, that we must focus correctly, you know, otherwise we cannot become different. Cannot transform.
Yeah, because this is the summary of the understanding of life, both the mundane and the supramundane. So you understand who you are, what that nature is, and what the form and mind is, and which one is subject to karma, which one is not subject to karma. All this you must understand. Then the true understanding, which is the true emptiness, is to be applied in life, not as a theory to keep inside.
Correct.
To be applied in the existential world. That's why all these are so beautiful.
So like I said, some of the pages I highlighted was 32, 33, you know, some key messages.
They are all there.
34, 35. It's all there.
We started with page 26. 26 to 39. Very beautiful.
Yes. I mean, 26, yes, correct. Then after that, I keep highlight a few things, like, you know, from 32, 33. You know, the other thing I want to highlight is we really have to be aware of our evil roots. You know, a lot of times we are not aware of the evil roots. Then we cannot change. We cannot straighten our views.
You cannot transform.
You cannot straighten your views. You always think that you're right.
Because you cannot straighten your view. You cannot root out that delusion.
Correct. So without understanding clearly what is the evil root, we cannot change. You continue with your old ways, you know. So that is a big problem that I noticed, from my close one. I don't want to mention it, but through my I noticed. Cannot tahan sometimes also. It's okay.
Correct.
Yeah.
They are just the way they are. Just let it be. Time will evolve them and change them. There is nothing we can do with their life. They have to decide what is it that they want. That's why without condition, nothing happens. We try our best because there is some affinity. Maybe as siblings or whatever affinity. Then from there, you try. Then after that, if there is no condition, just let things be. That's why whether I know them or I don't know them, it's not important. When there is condition to share, I will share. Then when I share, there is no preference. Whoever can understand benefit would receive benefit. So all this is what Dhamma is. That's why Dhamma is truth. Truth is not your truth, not my truth. It cannot be monopolized. It's nature. Nature has its way of actually evolving, its movement. And nature is really beautiful. That's why nature is most compassionate, most loving. Nature just give and give and give. Nature accord and flow, never oppose. Those who oppose nature get themselves entangled and afflicted. So nature, when you understand nature, is the most beautiful entity. That's why Ajahn Yantra's teacher, Ajahn Buddhadasa, he in Thai, they call nature as Dhammachat. Dhammachat means nature, very beautiful. So all this understanding for people who cultivate, they will develop the understanding, then they will see the beauty in nature. All these are the truth that manifests within nature, within existence. And it takes long period of cultivation and perfection to realize all this. So very good, Sadhu.
Anyway, the other thing Bharatiya mentioned is, you know, I think during retreat as well, it's in this, today's sharing is the silent mind. Without the silent mind, we cannot awaken, you know.
Correct.
Full stop, that's it, you know.
Our sati, our awareness nature.
Correct.
You don't have the true mind, you cannot cultivate. Because from there, that silent mind, the true mind, can actually insight in the phenomena and awaken. It is that nature that can see things as they are. And insight in the phenomena and develop that understanding and awaken. And the awakening is within our nature. It's not from the thought process. It's not from memory. That's why no need to remember. I remember in the early day, I keep on reminding a lot of cultivators all the way, especially Song. He was the very first to go through that thing. Then I say, don't try to remember anything. Because it's not a memory, it's an understanding. But I realize that thing is always with my nature. When I develop the awakening, the understanding, it's always there. I cannot forget. And I don't have to remember. That's why when the nature encounters something, it knows what to do. And it has that understanding, the realization that all this is not what people say, the form and mind. He know you, he know me, the not a permanent unchanging entity. It see very clearly. And that thing is not a theory anymore, not an idea from the thought and all those things. It is that realization, that nature that awakened me, and you no need to remember it. And all this just fall into place like the zigzag puzzle. Suddenly, the whole piece of zigzag puzzle with the pieces all fall into place. Then you see the big picture. Then you know, that's why you know the teaching, how this piece come from and how it started and all those things. So the whole thing become like very beautiful, very complete. That's why when it share, you all also will experience that type of joy, that type of understanding that give rise to that joy and that happiness. And the nature inside, it will actually be activated. Then that thing inside there really rejoice. And it will give rise to all this, what they call nature's phenomena or natural occurrences. That's why when the enlightened being share that type of teaching, a lot of being that actually felt it at their heart and their nature, they responded. That's why it was quick and all those things. Because of all this movement, they call it nature's happening or nature's occurrences. This happened within nature. it's not something that you can stop or restrict the movement. Cannot. Because within nature, it will happen. Because when this teaching has become so beautiful, especially when Samasa Buddha arise, even when they are born, a lot of great beings up there, they know already. That's why they rejoice. Then when they become enlightened, also same. Then when they parinibbana, also. Because all this, the whole of nature is one, and they know. That's why it's all possible and recorded. Oh, 6 o'clock already. Okay, Pocheng, anything else we need to summarize?
Yes, I just want to give faith to all Kayamitas that recent retreat, I have the opportunity to make some mini videos together with Brother Chin Hao.
Yes, very yes. good.
So it's very good, I think, you know, that we are able to support in this way.
Yes,
to come up with the mini videos.
Yes.
And hopefully more Kayamitas will have joy in making the mini videos. Because I find it very useful. In fact, all the teachings for this particular retreat, radio is very direct, you know. Everything clear cut, you know, give you the
Correct. The sharing is very direct now. Because they have causes and conditions.
It's very direct. Everything, the answer is all there. So if we are more diligent, we will be able to listen to it attentively. You have a lot of joy and it will help you to speed up your training as well.
So cultivation.
Help to speed up our cultivation. So I have a lot of joy in making the mini videos together with Brother Chin Hao. And hopefully more people will join in to make the mini videos so that more Kayamitas plus more sentient beings able to listen to it in the future, if not now. So that's all I want to say for
now. Okay, good. Let us now rejoice. Yeah, thank you. Rejoice in the good condition and sharing by Sister Po Cheng and also to Ng Bi Diao for nominating Po Cheng. Let us rejoice.
Sadhu.
Okay, so we will do the sharing of marriage, transfer marriage, and the closing puja. Akasata cha bhumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa chirang rakantu lokasasana etta watta cha amehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idang me nyati na hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang me nyati na hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang me nyati na hotu sukita hontu nyatayo devo satukalena sasa sampati hetu ca pito bhavatu loko ca raja bhavatu dhammiko imena punyang kamena mame bala samagamo sattang samagamo hotu yava nivana patiya Sadhu. Okay, now you all can pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattvas, and all the worthy ones. Let me end the whole Zoom session. Thank you for your good participation. Sadhu.